There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek's 50 Days of Dragon Con, post-Dragon Con podcast. As always, I am your host, John, and joining me, of course, is the lovely, the beautiful, the, I guess, rested now, Lee.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi. Also, yes, I am. I'm all rested.
Also joining us for this post-Dragon Con wrap-up, or post-Dragon Con 2013 wrap-up, I suppose. No, Dragon Con's never happening again. That's it. It's over.
And the sound you heard was thousands and thousands of geek heart shattering.
Let's see. We have Rox. Rox of Spaz House. How are you doing, Rox?
I'm well rested.
Well, good.
Very well rested.
She is keeper of the famous bike, as we've
I am. Yes.
And also joining us is Mighty Bill in Aruka. How are you guys doing?
Ahoy.
Hey.
Also known as just Bill and Alicia.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Or keeper of the mighty flask. I'll go with that too.
Oh yes.
That was a heck of a flask.
Those of you I don't think I've ever seen any flask like it walking around con. So there might have been one somewhere else, but yours is the one that is mighty.
Yes.
Right.
You know what we need to do? We need to make, like, you know how I have that little treasure chest in the back? We need to make like that as a flask of some sort. To make the bike even more famous.
Right.
Well, if it was a flask that then, you know, it like was like on like a microphone boom that you could lift up and then tilt. Mm-hmm. And then you could put it back and fold it back into the bike. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Or you could hide a camel pack in there.
Oh,
true.
Yeah.
They get kind of manky though. Oh. But if you like decorate it like some sort of hookah. So it looks like a hookah, kind of theming it together with that, but then, you know, there's just, you know.
Hmm.
That's a thought. Somebody over there is thinking now
all of a sudden. Oh, wait a minute. Anyway. Okay, so what we want to talk about is Dragon Con. First of all, let's go around the room in three words that summarize Dragon Con for you. Lee, Dragon Con 2013. Lee, three words.
Excellent. Crowded.
That's okay, that's two.
Busy.
That would definitely be three words. Rox, what about you?
Artifact.
There you go.
fantastic. Hilly.
Hilly. Alicia.
Yearly family reunion.
Oh.
Ooh, she formed a sentence. Cast her out.
And Bill?
You are the strongest, league. Goodbye.
And
Bill?
Fun long walk.
Fun long walk. Nice.
Hey, do you know,
I will explain that one. But
I did 43.5 miles.
Did you really?
During the convention. Well, I had a bike computer, so it logged everything.
Oh, because you carried the bike everywhere.
I've got to be very honest. I've got to get a pedometer or something and do that, because I'm actually kind of scared to know how much I walked, because I all over the place.
Yeah, I would have been this year, too.
Yeah.
I was pretty hobbled up come Tuesday, but
that's why you need to start a week prior.
I was hobbled by Thursday, so I was
pretty much hobbling Monday night, but yeah, no, it was, there was a lot of walking. I mean, I got over to the Westin for the first time in probably 2 years, which was a big surprise. I always go over to the Sheraton a couple of times, but I got over to the Westin. That was wow.
Yeah, I never even went, I never stepped foot in the Westin personally.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Solve This was in the West.
Oh, that's true. It was, wasn't it? Never mind. Yes, I did step foot in it once.
You know, right. here's the secret, people.
Choose to forget.
If you
that
want
particular.
A quiet bar, you go to the Westin.
Oh,
they have the quietest bar.
And it's on the like on
they
the first floor.
The quietest
right?
bar they had at yeah. is very true.
Well, let's
and of course now of course if I say this, you know, all coffee lovers everywhere will start scrambling there. You can go to the Starbucks pretty quick there too.
You know what? This year I saw more crowds at that Starbucks than I've ever seen in the past because it was
really
it was right beside the walkway to the America's Mart where the dealer's rooms were.
Yeah.
Well, I saw crowds at that one this year.
Yeah, we saw lines because, see, the reason I said long walk is because, unfortunately, we had an overflow hotel and we were at the Holiday Inn Express, which was behind the Westin.
Yeah, but you're smarter because of it.
And we went, yes. No, not really. Well, see, unfortunately, that's where all the construction is behind the Westin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we to get to the Westin, we had to go down a block or two because there was a 2-foot by 2-foot giant hole from where they've torn up the streets to put the trolley tracks in.
Oh. It would have been so much easier just to cross the street, but there was no way to do it.
Oh, man.
So we passed that Starbucks because we got to the point where we were using the Westin to get up to the to get up to Peachtree Street because especially with her and her hips, there's no way she was going to walk up the hill all the time.
Right.
So that Starbucks always had a line as we passed it.
And this is one of the first years because you must not have gone there, Rox, because that is the one where I have actually from the Marriott gone through the Marriott, through the Hyatt, across Peachtree Street to that Starbucks and been faster than I would have been at the Marriott one. Although I did find out about 8 a.m. Saturday or Sunday, you can get through that one at the Marriott pretty quick because they have like
Yes.
Well, that's also at 8 a.m. So let's break it down. First of all, what time did everyone get in? I mean, what day?
Wednesday.
Con started for me on Wednesday when I picked you up at the airport, John.
I know, of course. No party starts until I show up.
And I was I told Lee I can take the MARTA in. So she didn't get me at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you were also – he was 12:30. You were 8 a.m. in the morning.
I know.
So, yeah.
I can take that. I'm good.
Yeah. If you're going to come that early, you got to take MARTA because that counts as traffic. And Con didn't really in for me until Tuesday afternoon – when I took Rob, our friend, and his friends to the airport.
Wow.
Oh, that was awfully nice of you, Lee.
No, it was fine. It was fine. It was cool. But yeah, so this one was not only...
So it was almost a whole week.
We just talked about this. It was almost a whole week. Don't say it.
Actually, it was a week.
But literally, it was. Literally, Wednesday night is the new Thursday.
Yes.
And Thursday is the new Friday. And I'm not sure. The only thing that was not as crowded this year as other years was Trader Vic's.
Yeah. Because you know what? Everybody was at the Marriott. People were dressing up Wednesday night.
Yes, they were.
Because Aaron and I went to go visit Ken over at the Hilton, and we went through, and we're like, wow, everyone's dressed up, you know. So if you don't want a large amount of crowds, you know, the Hyatt doesn't have as many, you know, in the one main area where everybody used to congregate, you know.
Notice that. They really weren't as crowded this year.
No.
Yeah.
Which one? The Trader Vic's or other?
The Hyatt.
Hyatt, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly think I keep thinking it's mostly because of how the Con is really set up, but the Marriott is the central hotel.
It is.
It is. Well, it's the middle of the three with the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably got the biggest open area around the bar.
It does. And then you have like three rows, you know, then you can, if you don't want to be up there, you can go below.
Yeah, you can go below, you can go above, you can go other places. And it's also, it does seem to be where it's like, okay, well, I'll meet you at the Marriott and then we'll go somewhere else.
Correct.
It seems to be where people are like, that's the middle point of just, it is. It's in the middle of the con. So yeah. It's doing that.
Although we were this year, we were using, what was funny is we were actually using the blood drive area at night as a point of, well, we needed, because the bad thing is by Thursday night, the hotels takes away all the chairs.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah.
And we need people that need to sit because we have, Alicia has hip problems. We have a friend with spina bifida who's on crutches. So we need places to sit. So we started hanging out in the blood drive, like that lobby area.
Yeah, because once the blood drive is shut down for the night, they usually leave the chairs in there. You can go sit.
They do leave the chairs. That's right. Yeah.
And I'm actually surprised more people just don't hang out in there. I mean, it's a nice little area just to kind of chill out because you can sit there and you could, because you're right there at the T-junction between where the bridge and coming in from the mall is. So you can watch everybody go by. People watching, I mean, that's the best place for people watching is just sitting there.
Well, now.
I was going to say, perhaps you shouldn't have said that.
It always gets taken. So, it would probably get taken over at some point anyway.
Well, there's another spot for someone to have a rave. So,
I literally, that is the funny thing is I heard more and more people who went to the raves. They were ecstatic. People were so happy. Dragon Con, this was great. Doing not just a concert, but doing a couple of bands Thursday night. People loved it.
Oh, yeah. Because I left Trader Vic's. I think it's the first time I kind of left a little early because I wanted to meet up with some friends for the Ether Lounge that they had their own little setup over at Westin. Everyone's getting into a lot more, you know, at least parties on Thursday, you know, so
we're getting in there and Alicia, you said it, which is that, you know, it's yearly homecoming. It really is. I got just people that it's just wonderful. It's a family reunion.
You know, the funny thing is I never mind about going and, you know, everyone's griping about. Okay, the lines. Let's talk about that real quick, only because I saw this on Facebook. People, you got to remember, at least we're not Comic-Con, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Here, actually, Lee, what is the capacity of the largest ballroom?
Largest ballroom, if I am correct, is the Atrium, and that's 2,500.
Okay.
I thought the Centennial was still the biggest.
What,
Centennial? Centennial, even 1, 2, and 3 is like right at 21, 22.
Okay, still people. Hall H is 5,000 people. And most people camp out overnight. Okay.
And Hall H is sorry, go Bill.
I was going to say, they also don't clear out the hall. So you can literally camp the entire time if you wanted to.
And actually, one of my favorite stories, there are a couple of favorite stories. As I said, this year was, I think my word was, didn't I use excellent? Because Eddie McClintock, this was kind of a bittersweet year for us for Warehouse 13. It was a great year. But Eddie McClintock had said the first year he and Saul Ruminant came is when they were at SDCC because they were stunned at how big their group was at Dragon Con that first year. They couldn't believe they filled up one of our ballrooms. They were just kind of stunned. And I think he even kind of mentioned that this year is that he's never seen, you know, that we kind of just welcomed them with open arms. And that at SDCC, they had like maybe 200 people in their room. And it was a big ballroom, and about half of them were basically waiting on later date.
No way, really?
Because they were in anime costumes, and of course, you know, they're like, oh, we're glad you like the show. What are you playing? And they're like, yeah, we're not really here for your show.
No way.
Oh, yeah, they had a thing. I think back on G4 last year, they actually showed people on, I think it was Wednesday, sitting in line waiting for the Twilight show, the Twilight panel that was going to be like Friday.
God, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's how the person got hit by the car too. I mean, I think people want to complain about the lines because you got to have something to complain about, and that's fine. But the issue there is, I will also be very honest. If you except for probably the warehouse mega panel and maybe one of another panel. If even if you came right at 5 minutes, 10 minutes late, you were going to get a seat.
You
in
were.
My big.
Yes.
Now you were going to be at the back.
But and it there's wasn't jumbotrons.
But there are jumbotrons around. Other than like one day, I think most of the mics were pretty good, and they and as soon as people told us, they even tried to fix the mics then. So, you're if you really want to get a seat, you can do that. But the other great thing at Dragon Con, which I don't know that SDCC has, maybe they do. There's so many showing. They reshow so many of them.
Yes, yes, they do.
You know, there were ones you could. There were live ones, and then they re-showed them again, which is kind of cool.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Unlike San Diego, you have multiple chances to see panels.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And the thing is like, okay, we can start with Thursday. Okay, I went out crazy, like 6:30 to stand in line. But you know what? I actually tailgated. I had snacks in my, you know, my little treasure chest thing. And you know what? You make friends. That's what you do.
Well,
you know?
But Rox, I mean, and Bill, you guys too. I mean, John can't really talk about this because somebody was always getting his badge for him. But the other thing there is, you know what? It's an hour wait unless there is a computer problem. The worst I've heard about was Friday for about 2 hours when there seemed to be a slowdown.
Right.
Other than that, most people, if you've been watching them, you're talking between 30 minutes and an hour.
Yeah.
And that is 30 minutes of...
just you're outside waiting to get in. And the thing is once you're in, you're done.
You were pretty much, you were in and you had maybe 10 minutes if you had to wait a little bit. But yeah.
It did seem like the lines were slightly longer than they had been.
I think they were.
But I think, you know what? I think what it is, like everything, it's like, oh, hey, let's go hang out, stand in line. I mean, it was dark. It was really dark when I went out. And you saw I was so close to the front.
Yeah. You were 20-something people. Yeah. And there were still people already there before you. So, I mean, you got to think some people got there at 6 a.m. or so.
Oh, she was overnight.
Oh, was she really?
Why? Yeah.
She can't was crazier really than a bedbug.
I know, but you know what? They're playing Cards Against Humanity. They're doing stuff. We're all talking. It was all, you know, it was great.
I think that's the other issue too, is that there used to be very upsetting when it was 4 and 5 hours, but a lot of people did different stuff. I mean, they brought games and drinks and they chatted and they did this. I mean, it was kind of funny at one point. At one point, the Sheraton was like, you know, could you slow the line down a little bit? We're not selling as many drinks as we used to. And it's like, yeah, no, we're not slowing the line down.
And I think the thing is people have to realize a lot of the slowdown is not con; it's the fire marshal.
Right. Well,
they've been coming down very hard on the fact that they only want so many people in that ballroom at one time.
Correct.
So
think the other thing. They're very careful about that. And that's one of the things, too, is people are like, why don't they just let us line up in the habit trails? It's because the fire marshal doesn't want that many people in the habit. And when I talk by the habit trail, I mean the little line that goes around in that room. I mean, he doesn't want that many people in there, or he or she. I think it's a he this year.
Right.
But there's that. I think the only other time people were kind of like, can't believe this happened, was Saturday during the downpour. And I'm like, first of all,
Sunday was a downpour, wasn't it? It wasn't Saturday.
Yeah, it was Sunday.
Whatever day the downpour was, what was really funny is I saw people complaining about the heat in Atlanta this year. And I'm not trying to be mean, but shut up. Because this was probably one of the nicest weather years this year and last year. Because it wasn't ungodly hot.
Well, I was complaining because the week before there was no humidity.
Oh, yeah, it was a little more humid than it had been. Yeah, that was irritating. Yeah, it's like it waited on us or something.
Yeah.
Oh, all the geeks will be here in leather. Let's do that. But that was the only time I saw, I mean, literally people could not move. It was not great to try to get between the Marriott and the Hyatt. Something about that one little corridor is bad, and I don't know what it is. But The only time it was really, really bad was during that short downpour, and everybody was trying to get into the hotels at one time. And they did say, you can come in, but nobody's moving anywhere. And so that was a little... That I understand people were upset about that, but hey.
But that downpour really didn't... well, I guess it lasted like 45 minutes or so, right?
Something like that. Yeah,
yeah, 30, 35. Yeah, we were in the Fred panel, and I think that's when it hit.
Yeah.
And... No, we were at TK and working.
Oh yeah, we were at TK when it hit, but we watched it while we were in the Fred panel.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, you know, that was the other thing too. It also happened like at a perfect time as big panels were letting out and big panels were coming in. So people were trying to get to panels because
and people were lined up outside too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because that's where they were stashing people.
That and people who didn't live in Atlanta, just be lucky considering the way this summer has been.
Yeah.
We've had, what, three? There have been times where we'll have like 3-4 days of just straight rain.
Non-stop rain, not just a downpour, non-stop rain. So this
yeah,
right,
so
yeah.
The fact that it only rained the one time or the whole weekend was.
Yeah, really nice. Yes. I think it rained a little bit Monday morning, and I was like, oh, that's nice. Just kind of clean it out right now. That'll be good.
Yeah.
But no, it was such a great con year. And I think the other thing, which still amazes me when we're talking about big rooms, rocks,
mm-hmm.
is because when we're talking to, I was talking to the Grim guest afterwards, and Silas Weir Mitchell, who plays Monroe, who is, mm-hmm. oh my God, tall.
Yeah, he's like monster tall.
He's really tall. I mean, and I know I'm short, but I mean, he's really tall. And you kind of knew that from the show, but I didn't realize. But he said not only, again, they were stunned by their crowds. They couldn't believe they're going to go back and tell everybody how much fun. First of all, they had a great time. Second of all, that the fans were just so enthusiastic about them being there. They were stunned. But they said it again, compared to that other con, a lot more people in their room. And a lot better questions and a lot more enthusiasm.
Wow. That's like, I've been the other cons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just amazed that happens.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I don't know. It's like mind-boggling. You know what? And speaking of people coming out, to see stuff. I was really and Rob and I discussed this. We were glad to see Larry Niven there. You know, he's one of, we lost Ray this year. Yeah. So
yeah.
To see, to get back to the, author roots
mm-hmm.
of Dragon Con, it was really, and his panel was really, really well attended. He was in Centennial 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a really great crowd. I was really happy over that.
I thought Dragon Con, especially last year and this year, and as we've kind of expanded the writers out, Urban Fantasy had an amazing number of the writers
yes, they
over
did,
there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually where, when you add a track, it's really good because they got not only some TV shows, but they got some authors, which meant that Sue, who does Lit, could get more authors and spread them out a little more. And
right.
that we also have a fantasy. So we have a sci-fi and a fantasy lit track. We bring in more and more authors.
Right.
And young adult sure. lit, which
yeah.
is just wonderful. More
yeah,
and more and more.
I want to say that's where the explosion has come from, is because the young adult lit got so big and got other people into reading, and you can bring in more authors. I mean, I keep missing her every year, but I mean, for the longest time, I was waiting for Hades Lackey to come back after she hadn't been since like 97. She's been the last 3 years straight.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to have authors come back, and now that they've moved everything around, they have that big room now they're using where they can get like eight authors going at a time.
Yeah, so signings are better.
And signing yeah. is better, and I think, the only thing that kind of hurts us is it being at the same time as Worldcon,
right.
because some writers still do go there.
Right.
And it's fine, and you understand that, but
It's easier sometimes, depending on where they have Worldcon. If
yes,
Worldcon is stateside, then you're going to have authors going. If it's halfway across the world, the likelihood of getting an author that you'd really like, goes up.
Yeah, I want to say Worldcon was in Houston this year.
Yeah, so not as, yeah, I think it's in London next year or the year after, so that's going to be a painful year. But yeah. I think the other thing this year that the attendees at least understood a little more, or at least when I would say things, it seemed that way, was they understood people were filming. So, like, the Friday Warehouse panel, Eddie and Janelle Williams were not there. And had a couple people coming up going, oh, I was kind of disappointed. Well, first of all, we also already had CCH Pounder, so I was not. I was like giddy as a schoolgirl.
Right.
But people understood that, and they were very appreciative also, because they would say it later to people like, thank you for coming between filming, because that's a hell of a schedule.
Yeah.
People, they were up till 5 a.m. Wow. You know? Sorry, Bill.
Yeah.
I do have a great story about Eddie. I have to tell now while we're talking about it. Our Alicia's sister and brother-in-law. This was their first year since 2005, and they only came for a day. They came for the whole weekend this time.
Bill, we just lost you.
Yeah, you're cutting in. You're cutting in and out right now, Bill. So, put a pin in that story, and we'll come right back to you.
Sorry.
Maybe dial out and come back in again. I'll get you tea. But in the meantime, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Rox, first of all, what were your top three panels this year?
Oh, the Dark Shadows panel.
Mm-hmm.
They had the two actresses, one who played Angelique and the other one who played Maggie from Dark Shadows. And I went to the one, it was right after the parade. It was the one about the movies. Now, the funny thing is about one of the movies is it was up for an Academy Award in some sort of something. So, oddly enough, they played it during 31 Days of Oscars this year. So that was really cool because it's like, oh, hey, I got to remember that. And they were funny. The woman who played Maggie from the show, she's actually a big writer that she has been writing about, you know, Dark Shadows, when you consider on how many episodes it had. That was really cool. Very entertaining. The Malcolm McDowell, David Warner panel was really good. Now I'm just talking, you know, the big panels I've gone to.
Right.
I went to the one that was the, because David Warner had several panels and Malcolm McDowell had several panels, but this time they decided, this was through all history, to do the Time After Time, H.G. Wells and
reunion thing, right?
Jack the Ripper movie, of which neither one remembered. It was 1979.
well, at least they have an excuse. There's somebody, never mind.
Right. And they've known each other forever. It showed. It was a great hour. It was, I think, the only time I've ever stood in line to get into a panel, and it wasn't that bad. You know, I was chatting with people and stuff, but it was the only one. Because normally I wait until like almost 10 minutes when the panel is going on, and then I wander in. And you can do that. You know, Rob brought this up, Lee. The further back you go into like one of the ballrooms, the better the sound is.
In certain one of the ballrooms, you're exactly parts. Right.
Yeah. So that was that one. And of course the giant, you know, that, what was it? Sunday. Yeah. The Sunday, Warehouse 13 panel where
Saturday, super Saturday. Mega.
No, I didn't go to that one. I didn't go.
Oh, then it must have been Sunday. Okay.
It was Sunday one and CCH Pounder let me ride my bike. And
she did.
She did. And I gave Lee $40. So for her charity.
She did. For the charity.
Woo-hoo. Oh, for the charity. I'm like, it's just
for the charity.
Just for random reasons.
Yeah, she just stuffed it down my shirt.
No, it was great because
it wouldn't be the first time.
I was at the Walk of Fame and she actually took a picture of me.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
CCH Pounder. She did. She showed me that picture.
Did she? Oh, that's cool.
She did.
Lee, what
can
were
I
your
give her thank you note?
What were your top three panels?
I can't. I literally, I don't know. I guess I'm gonna have to say the ones where I'd have to go with four. I can't go with
all two. Right. What were the four then?
The Fringe panel where we had all three of them.
I'm so pissed. I missed that. I don't know why I didn't go. But anyway,
that one was I do not know why you didn't go. I literally want to hit you in the head. That one was awesome. They are, as I've said, I'm not a Fringe fan, but they are now going to make me. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to have to.
It's a good show.
Jenny's watching it.
It is a good show. I will just tell you that those three people, and I'm going to do my best to say his name, Michael Cerberus, Jessica Nicole, now that one I got, and Seth Gable were literally amazingly charming, just adorably charming and so nice. And what was great about that panel is it wasn't supposed to be all three of them. Seth had done two panels that day on Sunday and wanted to come to that one, so he came to it. He did, I think, a Once Upon a Time and then that one, or an Arrow and that one. I would say
the Mega one.
You know, I do want to say the Mega one, but I actually got to say that I think the one that hit me the hardest was the one on Monday. In a really odd way, because Eddie and I talked about it afterwards. I mean, he's seen my kid grow from this cute little kid to now being as tall as Eddie, pretty much. And just, he kind of feels like Dragon Con is, it's the reunion that he comes to every year. And he just loves it. And we both kind of teared up and gave big hugs. And so that one was, it was tough. But CCH, meeting CCH Pounder.
She was awesome.
Oh my God. She is so awesome. Met Brett Spiner. That was awesome. I mean, just all of that. I mean, all of that was just awesome. The Grimm panel with all three of them was great. It was really awesome because basically Russell gave some great stories. Russell Hornsby, Hank, if you were there and you got to see him, as he said, as he walked down the Atlanta airport and got a little more swing in his step, and it was hysterical and great. And then the Mitch Peligi panel on Monday, he actually said, he goes, you know, I don't want to be up on that stage. Can I just like sit down and, you know, pull the chair down lower? And I was like, sir, you can do whatever you want. And so we did that. And it really felt much more intimate, really did, and just felt fun and really laid back. And he's just, damn. I mean,
he is. He's a fine looking man.
Damn. But there were all these, I mean, there was just so many little minutes. I mean, first of all, it's seeing all my friends. That was great. Missed half of the Fun Fest because I got to be the person with the blue ribbon because somebody was ill and I just couldn't walk away. So got security and got some help for that person, which was great. But there were lots of little minutes. I mean, just seeing some people as a track director, and you guys know this too, when you go into track rooms that you've been in there, when you see people time and time again and they are coming back and they're saying how much fun they're having, makes it all worthwhile. And it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun work. And so I loved it. I loved all of it. Seeing Eddie's plumber's crack was awesome. Mitch Peligi pulling out that Texas drawl, doing a few things. Just hysterical things. And then some really great questions that came up. CCH Pounder talking about that the role that she had on Law and Order was not for a woman, especially not for an African-American woman, or as she now says, a foreign
woman,
a foreign American. And listening to her and talking about being the other in auditions, and Jessica Nicole talking about why she got why the show did it, about calling, you know, him calling her Asterisk, but there was some historical things there. And then being an out and proud woman of color, lesbian woman of color, that was just some great, great questions. And our people have some of the best. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And found out that there are supposedly better places than Voodoo Donuts for donuts in Portland.
Yeah, apparently that is actually a thing. Apparently there is other places besides Voodoo Donuts.
We got to go look these up, John.
Maybe we have to go back again. Bill, what was your three favorite panels?
Well, I have to say, seeing George Takei, his panel, where was the Kaleidoscope one where he just went on? I guess it was the shoot, just him going on about the Japanese internment camp and building up how he came up with the play. And he didn't get that many questions because he just, I don't want to say going on, but the story he was telling just was so intriguing, and more than just Sulu.
Bill, we seem to still be having some problems with your audio.
Okay, hold on, let me unplug.
Unplug something, plug it back in, wiggle it just a little bit. Wiggle it just anyway. I was watching it's become a thing with me now. I watch Saturday morning on CBS. Because my dad used to watch all the time, and then for some reason I started picking up just about a year ago, and I started watching. But anyway, George Takei was on there, and I guess he's also doing a play in New York about the internment camps.
Allegiance, what's it called?
What's it called?
Allegiance.
Okay.
Bill, are you on? Are you doing it Wi-Fi, or do you actually have a
connection? I'm plugged in.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Okay.
Well, let me just say, I think what I love, Bill, about that is you said he was doing that in the Kaleidoscope track. So many younger people don't know about those. And for him to talk about that in that kind of a room is pretty damned awesome. Something that's only probably going to happen at something like DragonCon.
Right.
And that's what I love seeing is things like that, is people giving those talks and getting those kind of questions. And it doesn't matter. You just get to listen for an hour of him talking about neat shit. I'm sorry. That's just so cool. I hate that I missed his panels.
And transit authority.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Am I still having problems?
Yes.
You're still having problems.
Why don't I sign off for a second and I'll come right back. See if that helps.
Okay. I'm not sure that's
well, one still... less person, sometimes it helps.
Sure. Although normally I host 10 on here.
Yeah.
Bill, so go on.
It
just made it worse. That's awesome. Check the chat there, Bill. Maybe I can I can give you a call.
The blind ducks.
For either one. So
blind ducks.
Blind ducks. Blind ducks are. Rocks vamp for a bit while I take care of technical issues.
Oh, okay. Actually, some of the other things that were really I did this time. Now usually I. You know, I'll scoot around and stuff. But this time I actually like hung out in the Marriott what all the other cosplayers were doing. I never really do that. You know, I mean, people will catch me whenever. But this time I camped out like next door to the two people that were dressed as like the warrior alien creatures. And they were getting a good crowd, so I was getting what it was left over and stuff. And we got a good couple shots with me fighting them, and it was a lot of fun. So I actually did that. It was actually a lot of fun. Chatted with people. I was amazed. You know, there's two videos by, I think, two really good cosplay videos out.
Mm-hmm.
So check those out. Those are actually, I'm in it at 2:20 from what Serve said. The guy's like, hey, can you ride your bike through and we can film it? I'm like, yeah, sure. So, this year I actually is that better?
No, I'm gonna, there we go. Bill.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little better.
Yeah. Is it much better?
Yeah.
We can at least understand what you're saying. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Do you have another line for Alicia or no?
No, her cell is dead, and yeah, our landline is. They tried to fix it, and nothing ever came of it.
Okay. You'll just have to either put it on speaker or hand it off to her when.
Yeah, I've got it on speaker. I've got an iPhone with a speaker.
All right. Well, there you go. That'll work. All right. So. So your top. So you mentioned George Takei was on your top three.
Yeah, the second one I think is what's the Saturday Warehouse 13.
Oh yeah,
which is where we saw Eddie's butt crack.
Yep.
Also, where Jamie Murray helped the couple propose.
Yes.
Had a girl propose to a girlfriend at the end of it.
That was so sweet.
Is that legal in Georgia?
No. Not in Georgia, but they might not have been from Georgia. It doesn't matter.
The proposal's legal.
The wife gets getting engaged.
Yeah, no problem.
Yep, so. And the third one, I guess it really wasn't the panel. We finally made it to an Atlanta radio theater company.
Was that good? Yeah, that was...
Yeah, we went to the Saturday night one.
The War of the Worlds one.
War of the Worlds, the
alternate title.
Alternate title, or whatever it was. It was a telling of the War of the Worlds from another view. Starring V48.
Mm-hmm.
And then to add that, we also went to their Monday one, which was they did a reenactment of the something of the Shire. The Scouring of the Shire.
Oh. Man, I do love them. I always get conflicting stuff, but yes, if RAP, don't they have now a podcast, Atlanta Radio?
Yeah, they do, and they also, I want to say they try to stream when they do shows, but I know they do live shows, like, at least once a month, once every other month,
mm-hmm.
And they've gotten to the point where they're trying to stream it now.
Huh.
I will tell people, if you have never seen one of theirs, I've actually seen them now. I've seen both one at Dragon Con and went actually to, if you're in Atlanta, they actually do them live in a theater as well, and you can go. They're great.
They are great.
They are awesome. Absolutely great. We are friends with Phantom V48, and so went to see him do that. And Kidlet and husband and I had an absolutely fabulous time. Absolutely fabulous. Oh, three of us.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen a whole lot.
Yeah, we had to miss the solve because we really wanted to see the War of the Worlds thing, and it did not disappoint.
You know, the funny thing is even though a lot of a lot of the people at our solve this were new people. I ran into some people that were actually at a couple of my panels and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, hey, we're starting to follow you, blah blah blah." I said, "Oh, I said if you want, I said we have a show coming up on Sunday called Solve This." So, a lot of the people that showed up at Solve This had never really gone to a Need Coffee thingy, so that was actually kind of cool.
That is actually very interesting. I mean, as I said a couple of years ago, it's always stunning when people come up and go, "Hey, Lee," and I'm like, "Hi."
Yeah.
And then I realize, it's okay. I don't know who they are. It's okay. They just know me because, you know, I'm Lee, the track director. It's good. I had a lot of people with John coming up to me and saying, "I heard your 50 Days podcast thing." I mean, straight out of the blue, like after I'd done an introduction or something like that coming up. And then a lot of people also coming up and saying, "Yeah, I know Need Coffee." And I know that. I was like, "Oh my God, you poor people, crazy people listening to Need Coffee."
I get people going, "I know your voice." It's like, okay.
That's how they say, And I'm like, it's oddly weird, but also amazingly cool.
Yes.
So yay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to say it's neat when people come up to us and say, "Yay, they've heard us." Yay.
And, you know, the funny thing is I know a lot of people were griping about some of the larger panels and stuff being crowded and this and that. But, you know, it's like, look to some of the fan panels and some of the smaller ones, you know, because those are just as fun.
Yeah, I'd say, honestly, the majority of our weekend tends to be more fan panels than the big panels.
Yeah,
even with my disability badge and being able to get in a little easier, a lot of times the fan panels are just a little more fun. I mean, the big ones are great, but first it's just nice to have a little room and people talking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a big crowd for Sherlock, the Brit track one, which was funny because I had to scoot up the street for the Canon Sherlock panel. Two totally different panels. Two totally different groups. Both of them were great. Both of them were packed, but totally different. It was weird. It's interesting.
Is the Canon Sherlock where they shoot Watson out of a cannon, or is that...
Yeah, it is. Oh, okay. Yeah. They don't know it. It was written by somebody else, but yeah, that's what happens. That's what Doyle allowed. Because I'm a Doyleist.
Yeah, I did.
I was even surprised. We had a panel for Terry Pratchett on Monday at 1, and it was packed. And which is good because it was such a weird time. And, you know, when you have a fan, Lee will attest to this, you know, when you have a fan panel, people want to talk about their stuff.
You know, Monday's interesting because Con seems to be starting on Thursday now. Mm-hmm. I think people are just absolutely. Monday's always been sort of dead anyway, a bit dead anyway, but it seemed particularly dead this Monday.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was.
See, you say that, but I got to think. I mean,
you had a large panel before the 2:30.
Well, I had three actually large panels because we had our 10 o'clocks were double booked because both of the actors said they wanted to do one more panel, but they had to do them at 10 because they literally left that panel to grab their bags and go to the airport. So that tells you how much the guests like us. They were still willing to do that.
Because
and then
honestly,
warehouse 13, but
honestly, if you think about it, Lee, there's nothing in it for them for doing that 10 o'clock panel.
No, there isn't.
It's
because
not like
they're not going to be able to do the Walk of Fame.
Right.
They do that because they want to have that interaction with the attendees, with the with the fans. And that's why I'm saying that's how much they like it. That's how much they love us, is that they are willing to do that. Because that was, you know, and everybody who was leaving early was like, I hate that I'm having to leave.
I caught CCH Pounder. Literally, I was biking. Mm-hmm. She was in the car. We looked, and she just started laughing. It's like, there you are. I'm like, hey, thank you.
Well, wasn't it, a couple of years ago that Shatner was only supposed to be here, one day?
Yes, and he
ended up spending almost the entire weekend?
Yep.
He was only supposed to be there Friday. He decided to stay Saturday and then decided to stay Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to say no. No, sorry. You said you're only going to stay a day. No.
Nope, we want you gone. You can stay as long as you want to stay.
And you know what? I actually made a point of going to other tracks. Like, I did go to a paranormal one. And the people that they get to do something, you know, like a little lecture thing, they enjoyed it. Like, I went to the War College thing for the escalation of nuclear weapons. And it was great.
My father-in-law went to some of those. He got sick, so he had to leave actually on Saturday. But he went to some of them some of the more historical ones on Friday and Saturday, and said they were very, very good. Very, very good. He went to a World War II one on Friday. It was excellent.
Lest I forget, Alicia, what were your top three panels?
Sorry.
Well, there was a Fraggle Rock panel that we went to.
Oh, I missed it.
Oh, yeah.
They showed a video that was made from the very last day of filming on Fraggle Rock. I think I cried through that entire panel just because I was so happy. I'd forgotten just how happy Fraggles made me. And just sitting in that room, it was like, yeah, this is good.
Especially once they brought, because you know they had the two Muppeteers and the executive producer who basically created the show, and at one point they brought out their Fraggles.
They brought out Mookie and Red, and it was so great.
Those two ladies looked like they were
five.
They looked like they were having a ball every time. Every photo I've ever seen them, they were having a great time. I mean, they were in the parade
definitely.
And stuff.
Yeah, they were.
That panel just made my weekend.
That panel was
Saturday Warehouse 13 one. Mostly because it's the story Bill was going to say that happened that day.
Bill's got to get back to that story.
My sister and brother-in-law came in. You know, this was their first full Dragon Con, and they wanted to go to the panel, but it looked like they weren't going to get in. So they went down to the Walk of Fame. and they just happened to run in. Eddie was shaking hands as they were heading out to the panel. And Lavanda mentioned that, you know, they'd been wanting to, but the panel was just full. He took one look at them and said, come with me. He got them in and got them on the front row of the panel.
If you notice the dude with the green hair sticking straight up, he was basically dressed as a treasure troll with the front row. That was
my brother-in-law.
That's her brother-in-law. Aaron.
That was him?
Yes.
Yep, that was my brother-in-law. And Eddie got them in, and that was just, I think that made their weekend, get to ride up in the service elevator with the panel. So that became one of my favorite panels because it was so special to them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, oh, third.
White Ranger?
Yeah, getting to see Jason David Frank. Because, I mean, I'm a martial artist, and one of the reasons that I always wanted to take martial arts was watching Power Rangers. And he was my second favorite ranger. So getting to sit in one of his panels and getting to meet him at the Walk of Fame and, you know, tell him what he meant to me. And when he autographed my picture, he actually told me good luck on my next belt test.
Which is coming up.
So, yeah.
Yay!
In fact, I think he even made a video of me that he said he might get up on Facebook, but I didn't see it. Still, it was just that was great, too.
How well attended were those panels for the Power Rangers?
The Power Rangers, see, I walked through the Walk of Fame. They had, like, long lines for signing.
I want to say the one we went to, because I went with her, because I was not a huge Power Ranger fan, even though I was a huge fan of the stuff like Ultraman Man and stuff like that before.
Right.
It was in the Regency 6 and 7, and I want to say it was full.
Yeah, I believe it was. Completely full.
Great.
Yeah, we went to the one panel, but yeah.
Regency 6 and 7 holds over right at 1,000, so.
Yeah,
so I want to say it was close.
It was close.
Yeah.
Full.
Yeah. Same with the Fraggles. That's what the Fraggles were, too.
Uh-huh. That one was full. So, those are my top three for the weekend.
Cool. So,
what about you, John?
Well, you know, my top three are going to be because the reality is that I really don't go to panels. I just sit on them or film them. So of course, let's see. The Grim
for me on.
Yeah, I work for Lee on a couple of the panels. The Grim ones are fun. I like the Grim ones. I learned the power of the moderator in the sense that I stopped one guy, pulled the microphone away from him before he asked what's her nose to marry him. So that was good. Oh God!
Thank you.
He's like, okay. So I'm going to ask him his question. I was like, oh, that's
a
good question.
He wasn't really going to do that.
Oh, he was, and he goes, oh, that's a good question. And then I'm going to ask her to marry me.
And I went.
That will be inappropriate. And he goes, oh, but I've seen it done before. It's like, okay, but not here. And so then he asked him a question, blah, blah, blah. I went through it. And then he started to lean back towards the microphone. And I went, okay, next. So anyway, preventing the awkward, awkward questions.
And I always
being want asked.
To thank our attendees who don't do crazy stuff like that too much.
Yeah, it's interesting because for the most part, Dragon Con doesn't ask those questions. I know, like, there was, again, I don't send very many panels that have questions being asked, except for the Fringe, not the Fringe ones, the Grim ones were like my first experience with doing that. With the exception of one person, I obviously just got nervous. When they're asking questions, they kind of rambled around. Because when they told me what the question was, it was very succinct but then she got a little flustered and didn't know where she was going with the question. So, but beyond that, the folks at Dragon Con do a good job. So, my top three would, I guess, be the Grim panels because those are really the only panels I go to that I wasn't on. And I don't know. I just, interestingly, the, actually, okay. Lost is
you
always
talk about your Lost panel.
Lost
again?
Is always fun, simply
being standing room only.
Simply because I don't
wait
understand
minute,
what these people.
Wait a minute, it was standing room only.
Yes, it has been for like the last. It got even more so this year than it had been.
Why?
Like previously. I don't know. That's what I ask them every time they come in the room. Like, why are you here?
I've listened to the panel, and it. I have a feeling it's the three of you. I think it's the three of you that keep doing it, and the way you run the panel.
Hey, we're back to see you.
It's but interesting. Then Aaron brought up if you listen to this one, Aaron brought up the awkward conversation about the lady who talked about the UFOs landing in Lost. That's how she would have ended it with the aliens. I'm like, I just hope she's not in this room anywhere because. You know. Anyway.
Yeah, that was the
Lost was
panel I did with you guys.
Yeah. That was with
oh God, what's his name?
Help us out here, Lee.
Father Brian?
No. It was Lost.
No. Bruce
Damien, Bruce Father Brian.
No. It was the writer. Paul Dini. Paul Dini.
Paul Dini?
Yeah.
Paul Dini.
Yes, Paul. Thank you, Lee.
Paul Dini. I said it three
times. Was it Paul? You've invoked him. Now he appears. No, the
awesome.
That
would be great. He can come back whenever he wants.
But actually, the panel that I had the most fun with was actually the What to Watch with Your Kids.
Yeah,
it wasn't so much fun as much as it was an engaging conversation, and I do have that. I do have that recorded. It will go up on the Unique Geek shortly, but
and it's interesting because that's always a small group. And I mean, we do it on purpose. We do it Monday when things are winding down. And it was a small group, but it's a good small group because then it is a lot of discussion, which is what we kind of like about it. Yeah. That's what we do.
And I also broke down during the following panel, which was interesting, which also was not as well attended as I thought it would have been.
It was 10 o'clock.
I
think that's it. You know, I started thinking about that too because the people that were there were into it, and I had so many people come up to me later and say,
Why couldn't they?
They just said they were doing something else and they couldn't get there. And I just thought about it and I went, I don't know that X-Track Room needs to do 10 o'clock panels. I think maybe our last one needs to be 8:30 because people are doing.
Because that's about the time Lee goes to bed.
Well, that's part of it, but that's why I have staff. I'm never there at 10 o'clock.
I noticed you weren't there.
I was there for the following, actually. I was. Thank you.
You were, I know.
I was. That was just for you guys. But, no, I think X-Track kind of falls into two groups. One of them, at 10 o'clock, is starting to think about the costuming and the partying and stuff of that nature. And the other group are those that are there possibly with their kids, or they're a little older and they're like, you know, I can skip a 10 o'clock with no problem.
Yeah.
But it was the conversation actually
was
still good. Yeah.
Oh my God. Did you hear all right. So we talked about that real quick. And the next day we talked about cults and stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm having breakfast with Peter White and I'm leaving. And this young girl, 10, 11, you know, I've got my top hat, my wizard's cloak on. She's like, I want a picture of you. I'm like, oh, hey, how are you? And she's like, Mommy, can I get a picture with her? I'm like, and without thinking, I'm like, oh, yeah, you need a picture with me and the bike. That's really cool. The mom is eating. And she's like, yay, go on. Go and take a picture with the strange woman with his hat. And I take two steps. And after what you said the night before about you trust your child, but you don't trust anyone else.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. I took two steps and I wheeled around. I said, why don't you come with us? Your daughter can be in the picture too. Thinking, here I am taking this girl out to like Sear at the front of Sear.
That's where your bike is. Yep.
I know, but the idea is.
Yeah.
She could have gone missing.
Yep. Oh, that would have been horrible.
I know. Yeah, that, it's like. Like you were saying, you know, you trust this strange cosplayer, you know, with your child. No, that's why I'm like, why don't you come You can take the picture with us, and it'll be great. And it was.
And then Madman.
Yeah, I think that falls under the whole feeling like a family.
Yes.
Is that people don't think twice about that happening.
You are correct. Yes, you are correct on that. Yes. But, you know, here we had this, you know, discussion, a serious discussion the night before, and it just sort of made me think, yeah, I know. It's like, you know, your family, and you're chatting with almost anybody, you know, when you're letting people take photos of you. People are really nice. They're like, can I take a picture of you? Like, I'm like, well, yeah, that's why I'm standing here. But, I mean, I didn't say that, but I'm like, oh, yeah, go ahead. Have, you know, and I'm fist bump them. I'm like, have a good show, this and that. But yes, you know, and people most of the time are very, very polite. I think because of that whole harassment thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Dragon Con rules of, you know, that people were going, I believe, well, at least with me, you know, of asking people, can I take your photo, you know, and stuff like that. So
how was that this year? I have heard from reading some of the blogs, reading some other things and talking to people that it seemed this year. This was a better year.
I haven't heard a whole lot of stories about anything. I know there was the one that people were posting around about this guy that was dressed as Xerxes.
Right, that's what I was going to mention.
There seemed to be in every photo album I found online, so I don't know.
What came of that, do we know? I mean, was there actually...
I don't know. I saw the post go up on Facebook. But yeah, like I said, I think I went on Geeks Are Sexy and was looking through their photo album.
It was a cover photo.
Yeah, it was a cover of set photo because they had him in front of like the 300 group and the parade.
Right, yeah.
And so, but I don't know whatever came of that.
For those of you that missed it, I think it was Saturday night. It might have been Saturday night. Maybe it was Friday night. On Facebook, suddenly this guy's picture appeared and... it had to be Saturday night because I remember going, oh, that was a guy from the parade because I had seen him in the parade. He apparently, someone was accusing him of assaulting someone.
There were a couple of things.
People were saying he was being a little too handsy.
Yeah. And everyone was looking for him. But I'm thinking, how could you not have found him?
He was everywhere, yeah.
It's a pretty distinctive costume. Everyone has a smartphone-y thingy. So, oh, by the way, before I forget, I do want to go back to that topic real quick. But I do love everyone that came to the Lost panel. I know that I always say, why are you here? But I'm just joking. All right, please come back.
And they already told me they wanted it again.
They also want Lost guest. Two of those things. One of those things may
so
never
do
happen.
I don't know what you want me to say. I want them too.
Surprising. I'm curious. Tomorrow night we're going to be talking with some people at DragonCon. Probably not going to be able to broach that particular topic. And I'm not sure that DragonCon would even want to necessarily get into it because it's really between the Atlanta Police Department and whoever the accusers are, but it would have been easy to find. Someone would have at least posted an update saying, hey, we found him, or, oh, it turns out that nothing was wrong, but no, I guess in this world it's just, we'll just throw that out there and hope.
That does seem to be social media. A lot of times the first thing gets put up, it gets blown up, but anything that comes up afterwards kind of gets lost in the ether.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So plus there's so much that goes on, especially posting Dragon Con wise, that it probably did get lost just from the sheer volume of what gets posted up.
Things are still getting posted on the
Dragon
Con Facebook.
Oh my God. Yeah. The fashion police, Atlanta fashion police photographer is still post. I think I'm in Sunday's grouping. So he's still on like Friday, Saturday. That's how much.
Yeah.
Everybody now sought him out because I saw this stuff like a couple of years ago. I'm like, how is it I never saw that guy? And finally I got a photo with him, you know, from him. Actually, the cool thing is There were a lot of really good photographers out there. There was a guy on the street. Now, here's the cool thing about the con, people, is, you know, you don't necessarily have to go to the dealer room. There was, like, this guy on the street, and he had a really good Polaroid camera. Really good one. I mean, he had a light meter. He had the tape measure and stuff. $3! And I got a really cool photo of myself. And the mad scientist.
Probably made a bit.
Yeah. The mad scientist with a camera. $20 for three poses. Actually, I got four. He had a good setup.
Really good too, if
his stuff is.
Yours was good. And they were gorgeous too.
I told him, you know, like everyone's like doing these spinny poses and stuff. I'm like, I want a classic pose. He's like, okay. He was like all excited. So, and the cool thing is if you were a multiple cosplayer, you could get a, like a multi-pass and go several times out of the convention.
Multi-pass.
And he'll download it, all your photos to a thumb drive and stuff. They even had a, I guess we could talk about who went to balls. Any parties?
We couldn't get into any. I know friends that wanted to try to get to the Doctor Who, where we were trying to get to the Doctor Who panel, and the line was outrageous.
For the party?
Yeah, for the 50th anniversary ball.
Yeah.
And they were able to get in.
The steampunk one Sunday, that was really, really good. You know, it's sort of funny. Our group has more and more really good bands. I did manage to go to the Brit track, not the 50th Doctor Who one, but I one of the villain panel.
The heroes and villains ball.
Yeah. I always stop in for that. So did you guys get to any? Wasn't there a Star Wars one, Star Trek one? The 10th forward or?
He missed the one band I really wanted to see because I was doing the kilt blowing. Because I really wanted to see Professor Elemental.
He's a good.
Steampunk rapper.
Yeah.
But they were doing that. I had to be at the check-in at 12:30.
Yeah. How was that? It was sort of funny that the setup, I know it's got Ginny Breeden's kilt blowing thing has gotten really big, and it was sort of funny. I saw her and I chatted with her like the next day, and I was sort of giving some sort of what Peter White was telling me, like the further back you go, you don't really see anything. And he goes, well, it would have been really cool if they made it like a runway, you know, like a fashion runway type of thing, so that, you know, more people can see and stuff. So she's like, oh yeah. And then of course they had, I think they had a fire marshal issue too, didn't they?
Yes. They did. They had to line up. I know they were actually, they had to get moved. They were actually in the international, well, we were basically using both. They had both international north and south. And I want to say the north we were using as the corralling of the guys.
Right.
And then south was where all the women were. And they had the room was packed. And because a lot of times they don't always sit in the chair because you'll have like, 2, 3, maybe 4 rows of women sitting on the floor.
Yep.
Watching.
Right.
And it was packed, and they kind of encouraged costumes this year. So we got stuff like, of course, the Captain Jack, and we had a guy that was actually dressed as Dresden.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then a dude who was doing Loki, but in the suited Loki from when he first appeared in Germany. A whole bunch of stuff like that. Yeah, it's popular. It's one of those things where I have a feeling they would fill whatever room they put them in.
Yeah, right. I imagine so.
That is the cool thing about like Dragon Con. There used to, you know, when you have something, because they used to be, she used to do that, what, in a hallway or something, or an
she
empty
used to
room.
Do that in a little, in front of one of the not the atrium level, but the where the bands are now.
Yeah.
They used to use that area where, you know, the ballroom would shut, and they, you know, how it has almost like a little lobby area. Mm-hmm. She would set up there.
Yeah.
And it just got too crowded. That's why they had to put it in a room.
Right.
Well, that and the police officer.
So, yeah, that the security, the police officer that came over to try to figure out what was going on. like, no, it's an electric leaf blower. No, they sign all releases. They're all over 18. There's no public nudity.
Right.
So, yeah, because they want cheesecake, not porn.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Well, you talk about costumes, too. I want to say one thing I saw this year that, as the mother of a 14-year-old who was out and about by himself because he actually worked con, I saw some really creative and some of them very, all of them were well done, but some of them were very sexy, but not, they were daytime appropriate. Mm-hmm. And I saw many more of those that I liked this year and that I was just really thankful for. And then I will say after 10 o'clock, you know, that's when you get into tape and things like that. And you know what? After 10 o'clock, that's fine. And I just really want to thank the costumes.
There was a lot more male nudity this year than usual. Yeah, there was a lot more scantily clad men than there were.
Oh, yeah.
I have three words for you. Red Solo Cup.
Oh. Yep. Oh, that guy got stopped. That was bad. That scared me.
Hey, you gotta admit the best cosplay actually was CCH Pounder this year.
Yes,
cosplayed as Miss Frederick. It was awesome. That was awesome.
Yeah, actually, one of my favorites, even though I didn't see the movie, were the several Sharknados that were running around.
Oh my god, there were a lot. There was one woman that was a Sharknado, and she was good.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they had one that was motorized and actually spun.
And I saw the video of it.
And the other thing I noticed this year, there wasn't a lot of repeats. You didn't see a lot of duplicate costumes. There was a lot of variety this year.
You did. I did. You know
what I saw a lot of? I saw a lot of Walter White's.
Huh.
Yeah, there's quite a few Walter White's. Yeah.
Probably because it's a fairly easy costume to get, right? Shave your head, put
the funny thing is, you know, after watching that one video and I showed it to some muggles and they were like, oh my gosh, somebody dressed as something so obscure. I was amazed at how they were picking out people that were like, you know, some minor person in some film somewhere. So that was really cool. So on that front, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so last topic.
Yeah.
The dealer's room. Okay, I'm gonna give you my opinion first. I thought it was better than it has been in the years I've been going. I know that a lot of people got it was kind of overwhelming and very confusing until you, like I've said before, you implement the dragon crawl rules and you just find a wall and follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you've made it to the end of that wall, all the way back around, pick another wall, follow that wall. Then eventually you've seen the whole entire dungeon. So the let's start with Alicia. Your thoughts?
It was very overwhelming. In fact, my first morning up there, I ended up having to sit down, and I didn't make it through the first time. But I still don't know if we made it completely through.
We didn't.
I mean, the second floor up there was just massive. I heard a bill at one point and said, this actually reminds me of San Diego. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to believe that they're going to put it there again next year. They're not going to change that. Simply because...
And I'm good with that. I liked it.
Oh, you liked it. Okay.
It was a good place for it.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like the corners, though. The corners need some work. Either... They need to not put anything in the corner.
Yeah, they don't need to put, like, food vendors and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the food vendors were oddly placed, too. They should have been maybe out in the hall or something.
Yeah.
Or not smack dab in the middle of the traffic. Yeah. That was a little overwhelming as well. Bill, your thoughts?
I actually did like it. Yeah, it did seem like you had more room to move through than you have in the past. I don't think we really had that many bottlenecks, but I think we didn't go until, like, Sunday. Like, early Sunday morning. Not early Sunday morning, but I think we went, and that was the first time we went through, and then we went like Monday afternoon to pick something up. It for me, it came across as a little, once you hit the second floor, it was overwhelming. Just because it was like boosts for as far as the eye could see. Although I think it helped a lot because I noticed, except for Saturday, the people flow seemed to work a lot better throughout the rest of the con, especially going through the Marriott, because you didn't have everybody coming in to go to the dealer's room.
That is
so
true.
It almost seemed like there were less people, even though there were more.
Those escalators those escalators were way more usable over by Lee's end of the Marriott.
Yeah.
Yes, they were this year. Yes.
And I think that's part of it is because you didn't have that crowd trying to get down to the dealer's room. And I think that's what helped. Where I think that's why a lot of people were saying it seemed like less people, but I think it was just because we're more spread out. And I think that's where it's going to help.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I think it's going to be growing pains for them. This is their first year in there. I'm sure they're going to try to find other things to do.
Well, they have been in there before. They have been in there before, but not as large. No. They weren't nearly as large at that time. Lee, your thoughts? Did you even get over there, Lee?
I got over there once on Monday briefly, but I did talk to Hub and Kidlet, and they. There's got to be better signage. There's got to be a better map. But they loved it even when they went during a crowded time, I want to say Friday afternoon, and yet still said they felt like they could walk around. Didn't feel crowded. Did feel like they could actually look at the tables and stuff like that. So I think it is a growing pain. I actually know some friends who are vendors and asked them how they did, and they said it was a good year for Dragon Con. It wasn't a great year. So, but there's some other very constructive criticism I think they're giving, which is they've got to do somebody's got to figure out a better load in, load out, because it was people waiting a really long time to load out on Monday. And so some things like that. But when I went over there the one time when I went, of course, it was like 15 minutes till it was going to close or something, because that was the only time I had. But I found what I wanted, which was I got some purple lightsaber earrings and little Hawkeye earrings and little Han Solo earrings. So, and they didn't have any Coulson earrings because they don't make them, because the Coulson figures are very hard to find.
And because Coulson's dead.
No, he's not.
And Rox, your thoughts?
Let's see. I actually ventured to the right after our Make the Bad Men stop, because I wanted my ring. Okay, I lost my ring when I lost weight. I lost my Miskatonic University ring. So I made a beeline. Crazy Friday. So I used my bike, and I had two drag queens behind me using me as like a plow type of thing. And it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was. I remember when it was at the America's Mart, Peril Mart, whatever it's called. I remember it. Here's the thing, though. I wanted the ring, and I also wanted perfume from Black Phoenix. As we all know. And nothing against dealers at all. Unfortunately, there used to be a time when you could find deals in the dealer room. You just don't anymore. You know, you do find the oddball thing. It's like, oh, hey, I need this. You know, it's like one guy was telling me on how expensive steampunk was in the elevator. I'm like, we make all our crap, right? You know, and he's like, oh, I know, but I don't have time, and I don't have enough money to buy a $100 steampunk cuff, which does to the same time kind of a lot. But I do like, so there was only like a couple places I really needed to go. You know, there was a couple t-shirts I wanted to pick up, but, you know, I kind of knew what the dealers I wanted to see were. There was the Chic Geek stuff, that was the first time that they were there. The furniture people, because there was actually
I did get the kilt that I've always wanted to get. I was able to get that as well.
And I found going through the Westin was a lot easier to get over there. you know, there's a little bridge through the west end of going, if you go up third, seventh floor or something, cross over. They actually had food and stuff set up, you know, in through there. And then you could cross over and into the apparel mart. I actually went in on Monday and picked up stuff. And the crowds were like non-existent. Because here's the cool thing, just really quick about Dragon Con is my Monday was totally cleared up because A, my hotel took care of my bike and I didn't have to go to UPS or FedEx. And you could sign up for your badge online. Normally Monday, yep, I'd be at the booth, at the Dragon Con booth waiting to, you know, give them my $65. So my whole, I'm like, oh, I have time on Monday. Holy crap. What do I do? It was amazing. But the dealer's room, you'll get used to it. I liked it because A, it cleared up a lot of the Marriott. You know, mm-hmm, because in between panels and stuff, and then you have people milling around getting into the dealer room and going down to the bottom part of the Marriott was always horrible to get to, yeah, the lower section of the dealer room. I am glad they moved it.
What did they use that the old dealer room for this year?
I don't know.
That was the sign where they had the author signing.
Oh, okay. Which all was right. Good. Okay. And that gave them plenty of room because it always got really congested. And stuff.
I know they use the exhibit halls for track rooms, but I didn't know because I didn't have to go down there this time.
Actually, the Walk of Fame was one of the what used to be the exhibit hall.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And they liked it.
But on the other exhibit hall, the I don't know, I guess what
that was
the other
they had
side
one of those
was a big
forward
track
party, and they had a couple other big things in there.
Yeah, because that was where the first Grimm panel was.
And yes. And I guess none of us really went down to the Sheridan. I went
no,
for
I
a
didn't
couple
go down
times.
Sheridan, no.
I did.
We went for the Sherlock panel. I think we went to a panel in all the hotels.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a panel, one in each hotel.
Yeah,
because
I was at the Hilton, and yes, I did too.
Of course, the deal with me, though, is that if I have to, I try to avoid going to too much stuff because I have to carry, you know, video equipment with me all over the place. So I just don't like.
You need
falling.
A bike.
I need a bike. That's true.
I need a bike.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you for sharing your thoughts. And you guys going next year?
Yeah, sorry. Oh, well, you know, that's the thing. It all started the day of the last day, Monday, of getting your room. Did you get your room?
We have got our room before we even left for this year's con.
So are you at the where are you?
We're at the Sheridan. We found out a friend of ours who was really pissed because she has never been without a host hotel.
Uh-huh.
This was her first year where she had to do an overflow.
Oh.
So she started going around, and she found out the Sheridan was actually taking hotel reservations for next year's Dragon Con because their reservations now, they're going as far as 18 months ahead.
Oh, what?
Reservation anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, the Sheridan is doing 18 months in advance.
Wow.
I mean,
you had to call and do the in-house booking to get it. But
yeah.
Once you did that, yeah, we had our Dragon Con room for the next year, booked before I even left this year.
Oh, because we had a little bit of a mess up on the West End. Now, I actually signed up real quick. Sorry, John. I signed up for Starwood points and a Starwood card, and I actually got the Amex card so I can get that. And I was able to. Here's the thing. If you don't get a room now, keep looking on the Dragon Con Facebook page. Because that's how I found out about the Westin opening up on Tuesday when I got home. And I immediately called. And then I posted it on Facebook. And my friends are like, yay, you got us our room. I'm like, oh, I immediately called his wife because it was for my neighbors. I got the room. I'm like, hey, you need to call right now. And she was able to get room. So
yeah,
I'm at the Westin again.
I was going to say, not only that, but also the Dragon Con room share, the room thing on LiveJournal.
Yeah, LiveJournal.
Because we actually had friends who had their room fall through. for mm-hmm. various unfortunate reasons. And she was able to find a room because a lady, two of her friends that normally went, backed out at the last minute.
Oh.
And she was able to get a room share at the Hilton.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Through the LJ
oh,
group.
Cool. So, yeah, I'm going next year. And
as
I did,
far as I know, I will be there.
I made
as far as
sure,
I know, I'll be there.
I made sure I thanked every person I ever met or dealt with a red lanyard. That was one of your Dragon Con volunteers. Next year, thank them.
Oh, let me say real quick. Even though we were at an overflow hotel and the walk sucked, if you have to get an overflow hotel, the staff at the Holiday Inn Express bent over backwards to make our stay wonderful.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
The rooms were tiny, but...
But I really wanted them to bend over forwards.
Oh, wait. The staff was great.
Plus, the staff was, like, taking pictures of the costumes and putting up on their Facebook. And
yeah, they were really into it. Yeah.
Cool.
And stay away from the Devil Tree.
All right.
Okay, good to know. Yes, because of what they're doing right now. That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you don't know, go look on Facebook. You'll see it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I guess that's gonna conclude.
See you next year.
Bye, guys. All right. Well, okay. That's the end of this particular 50 Days Dragon Con post con wrap up. As always, thank you, Lee, for being there with me for almost every single one of these. I appreciate it. And
thank you for inviting me.
And as I alluded to earlier, we will have one more after this for our wrap-up, which will be speaking with a couple of the senior staff at Dragon Con, discussing what happened this year and the good in the
maybe some ideas and things are going to change or do next year too. Never
right.
know
exactly, and then get their take on it. So until next time, for Bill, Alicia, Rox, and of course the lovely Lee. Until next time, peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.